but I'm so thankful having her as my bride, as my best friend, as my soulmate, as a companion, and I'm supporting her and she's supporting me. It's incredible. And I said, we have something that so many people would give anything to have. You know how many people would give anything just to have the hope for somebody like this? Now you're hoping for this and you've got it all planned and it comes into nothing. And I said, look at me. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face and I have joy in my heart. I said, the grace of Jesus Christ, the power of resurrection life in me is so much stronger than death. I'm able to say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? And not because God turned around and gave me right back to her, but because even still in the death, I stand joyous, praising God. It's incredible.
God will confirm it for other people, and God will confirm it even more and just give us a blessing, glory crumbs, when he does deliver us. But honey, right now he's delivered us. We're standing with hope. We're standing with joy. We're standing with faith in the midst of death.
:42 in the morning on September 12, 2021. I couldn't get to my recorder fast enough this morning. Oh my goodness gracious. I feel so blessed after waking up to this message from my wife this morning. It is so beautiful. I literally laid in bed holding my hands up while I'm listening to this message, praising God. Oh, so thankful to the Lord. I spent the better part of yesterday listening to my wife, giving her opportunity to express her frustrations and her anger towards this whole situation, struggling with being mad at God. And then I would just encourage her. And without being the whole, I don't know, to me, I was able to be very patient with her and allow her to get it all out and not necessarily try to just fix it all. But what I ended up doing is I focused on perspective change to try to give her a different perspective. I asked her to consider looking at the extraordinary relationship we have that has not been taken away. I asked her, I said, sweetheart, in 5 months of intense relationship, you know, we're talking hours a day. I said, other than the concern you had about the wedding ring, my wedding ring, me wearing a cheap thing and you didn't like that. I said, have we had what could even be considered the first disagreement about anything? She said, absolutely not. I said, that is a miracle. I said, look at the relationship that God has given you and I. I said, it is absolutely extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. I said, we've gone through hell. We've not had the first disagreement with one another. And that's almost impossible. That is on the borderline of miraculous. Who's ever dated somebody for 5 months and never had where you've had the relationship as intense with as many challenges, with 8,000 miles of distance apart, enemies all around you, and you've not had the first argument, not have the first disagreement? That's extraordinary. I mean, it is, we have, with God's help, learned how to really love each other and to listen and to be sensitive to what the other person's concerns are for a few minutes and not panic, knowing that once we give the person the other information, that it may change how they feel about it. And so as a result, we've not had our feelings hurt. I mean, Lisa has never once hurt my feelings. I mean, it's incredible. In 5 months, I've never once been mad at her. I said, look, sweetheart, do you know how many people would give anything to have even the hope for the relationship that you and I have? I said, you know how many people are still stuck, married to a pharaoh, trapped in Egypt, still trapped in what you and I spent 21 years of peace in? I said, look at what God has done for us. And I said, people would give anything to have a relationship like this. I said, you're still my best friend. You're still my wife. And I said, the only thing you don't have right now is me making you coffee in the morning and getting to do what husbands and wives do physically. I said, but look, I'm providing for you financially. I'm providing for you emotionally. I'm providing for you spiritually. You're doing the same for me. We're with each other. We're sharing our hearts. We're doing life together. We're, you know, going through every little thing together. I said, so we do have a marriage. It's just unconventional. And I said, look how good it is. let's not forget how good it is. And she's like, no, you're right. You're right. And so it was beautiful for me to even think about how blessed we are. We spent a lot of time talking yesterday. We did a lot of planning for the tiny house. Turns out the location that her friend has offered is probably not going to work. It's going to be too boggy, too wet. And so her cousin, I guess it'd be her second cousin, offered last night for us to put it on his property and said we don't have to pay. We can keep it there as long as he wants. He doesn't care. Him and his wife don't have any problem at all. And I'm just thinking, wow, what a blessing that is. And so we are going to shoot for that. So we coordinated on that. We looked at a couple of other locations. And then it seems like the Lord really gave me peace last night about putting it there. And so she ended up going to bed. We laughed and cut up, and I teased her a little bit before we went to bed. But I knew that she still wasn't 100% with God. I just told her, I said, that's okay. And I explained to her, I said, you're not going to be able to raise yourself. You know, she was down in the dumps. I said, sweetheart, you won't be able to raise yourself out of this. And I said, it's when you're in the dead, you cannot raise yourself to life. You're going to have to let God raise you. I said, you do your part, but just be okay with being down until God is ready to raise you up. So went to bed having a really good night overall, good day, and felt like some normalcy was returning back. And she said she felt, you know, a little better. And she said, I'm not 100%, but I'm feeling a little better. So I was so thankful for that. And I said, well, we'll just wait on the Lord to lift you up. And he did it last night. And she sends me this message. I said to her, I said, sweetheart, have you seen anybody be as excited about marriage and as in love in the way that you and I are, this intense from both people? She says, no. I said, this is so important to us. I said, this wedding and marriage is so precious to us. Thank you. Bye, you too. I said, it's so precious to us. I said, this is our Isaac. And I had found this out by the Holy Spirit the night before when I told her I was on. What happened was the night before, on September 11th, her day, so my September 10th at night, she said, well, honey, you know, there's still some hours left. I started to pray, and I said, I told her, I started telling her, I said, sweetheart, I do not believe this is going to happen today. I do not believe it. And I could feel it in my spirit. And it wasn't unbelief. It wasn't like, oh, it wasn't unbelief like God can't or he won't because he's not willing. No, it was that he had chosen not to do this, that he was going to allow this thing to come into death. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, I was on my knees praying, God, you still have time. And it's like the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I could no longer be in spiritual integrity knowing that the Holy Spirit was stopping me. I could not continue to pray about it. And so I said, sweetheart, this isn't going to happen. I said, God is going to bring this thing into death. And she went really quiet. And I just said, I want you to know that I just know that he's going to do this. He's going to allow it to come into death, honey. He's going to do what we didn't want to do. Our greatest fears are going to be realized. It's going to happen. So she got really quiet after that. And that's when she started to get angry at God. And she really started to get angry. And she pitched a little bit of a fit. She did it in a calm voice, so it wouldn't sound like somebody pitching a fit when you think about it. But she, what about this? And why'd you let this? And what about this? And why not this? And haven't you seen? And she really, and I said, honey, you got to get it all out. Tell him you're frustrated. So she did. So last night, I'm telling her, I said, sweetheart, this is our Isaac. Because in prayer on that night of September 10th, I said, God, this is our Isaac. We take this and we put it back on the altar. We trust you to take him and raise him up. And it just this sense that this literally is an Isaac to us. So precious. We have waited so long for this blessing. And we are so excited about it. It's exactly like waiting 25 years for Isaac. And then it comes supernaturally. And you are so excited. I said, sweetheart, there is no doubt in my mind that God is doing something good for us. So last night, it was all about this, about how this is our Isaac. We have to put it up on the altar. We have to leave it there. Show God that, yes, while this is the greatest gift we've ever had, he still is the better gift. And we still trust him. And we still fear him. And we love him more than we love this marriage. And I said, sweetheart, he is going to give this marriage back to us. He is going to give this marriage back to us. But we have to give it to him fully. And he has to see our attitude about it. So that was what I had told her last night. And I've been being kept in such peace. I am so thankful to God Almighty. I saw a few 111s yesterday and a 322, and I really felt like the Lord was indeed telling me, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. I mean, I could imagine by him seeing my response to this, granted it's all empowered and fueled by his grace, but that I can imagine that he is pleased, because there's nothing that pleases him more than faith in the face of disaster, loss. And I am trying to encourage his daughter. And so last night, she sends me this message. She said, oh, baby, I was flicking around after September 11th looking for anything the Lord maybe wanted to speak to me about or encourage me something. And she says, boy, did I find it.
Just wanted to flick through streams and have a bit of a look for any devotion to refresh my spirit and to lift me up. And I came across September the 20th evening. And the scripture is, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? John 11:40. And I've written out my own translation. I've called it the LC translation. Lisa Criswell translation. I just wanted to share it with you, my baby. I think the Lord's really blessed me by leading me to the scripture, and I feel I've already read it to you. Yeah, I just feel like the Lord's really speaking to me through this. So this is what I've written. Lisa could not understand what her Lord was doing. She said to him, Lord, if you had delivered Michael to me by 9/11 as you promised, he and I would be married now and on honeymoon. And behind her words, we seem to read her true thoughts. Lord, I do not understand why you didn't send me my husband, or how you could allow this all to be brought into death. I do not understand how you could allow such sorrow and suffering to devastate our lives when you could have prevented this from happening. Why didn't you fulfill your promise? Now it's too late. Our wedding day has come and gone, and we have lost our honeymoon bookings, and everything is ruined. But Jesus simply had one great truth in answer to all of this. He said in essence, you may not understand, but I am telling you that if you believe, you will see. Abraham could not understand why God would ask him to sacrifice his son, but he trusted him. Then he saw the Lord's glory, when the son he loved was restored to him. Moses could not understand why God would require him to stay 40 years in the wilderness, but he also trusted him. Then he saw when God called him to leave Israel from Egyptian bondage. Joseph could not understand his brother's cruelty towards him, the false testimony of a treacherous woman, or the long years of unjust imprisonment, but he trusted God, and finally he saw his glory in it all. And Joseph's father, Jacob, could not understand how God's strange providence could allow Joseph to be taken from him, yet later he saw the Lord's glory when he looked into the face of his son, who had become the governor of a great king, and the person used to preserve his own life and the lives of the entire nation. Perhaps there is also something in your life causing you to question God. Do you find yourself saying, I do not understand why God allowed my loved one to be taken. I do not understand why affliction has been permitted to strike me. I do not understand why the Lord has led me down these twisting paths. I do not understand why my own plans, which seem so good, have been so disappointing. I do not understand why the blessings I so desperately need are so long in coming. Dear friend, you do not have to understand all God's ways of dealing with you. He does not expect you to understand them. You do not expect your children to understand everything you do. You simply want them to trust you, and someday you too will see the glory of God in the things you do not understand. If we could push ajar the gates of life and stand within and all God's working see, we might interpret all this doubt and strife, and for each mystery could find a key. But not today? Then be content, dear heart. God's plans, like lilies pure and white, unfold. We must not tear the close-shut leaves apart. Time will someday reveal the blossoms of gold. And if, through patient toil, we reach the land where tired feet with sandals loosed may rest, when we shall clearly know and understand, I think that we will say, God knew best. Yeah, I think Father really led me to that devotion, and yeah, that he's really blessed me with that. So yeah, I believe that God still has a plan for us beyond this death, that he does have a resurrection, just like I believed for your ministry when it went down. And I trust him that he's got good things in store for us, that we will be married soon, that you will be in New Zealand, and that we will be doing life together, and that we will be blessed. So yeah, baby, this is definitely given me a hope tonight, and yeah, I'm gonna go to bed thanking the Lord. I just want to let you know that I love you very much. And I know I already told you today, but I will never give up on you. You are the best gift I've ever received. And I'd be absolutely stupid to walk away. I'll never walk away from you, baby. I will fight right to the end. And I will see you here in New Zealand, and we will be married. I miss you, my love. I can't wait to talk to you next.
It was so beautiful listening to my wife finally get some understanding and some relief from feeling mad at God as if he's done something senseless, because what God has done is not senseless. There is a meaning to it, and there's a good meaning. And I said, and if we'll just be patient, we will find that God worked this for our good. It's just that amazing. God is that amazing. Very, 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 very thankful waking up this morning that my wife, she says, honey, God has blessed me tonight. He's helped me. And I said, oh, I mean, it's like I would almost rather be in this place right now where we've gone through the fire. And I told her, I said, honey, you're in the fire right now. God will bring the water. And now she's in the water again. He's going to cool this off. And I said, sweetheart, one day we are going to really see how this all made sense. I couldn't have been more pleased. And I feel like I'm more thankful that we went through the fire, went down into this death thing, and now we're having this experience where my wife is recovering from something that's horrible. I mean, she was having to eat the wedding platters that she bought for us last night by herself, and I felt horrible. So, man, am I thankful to our God today for what he's done for my wife.
Good morning, my sweetheart. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. So thankful to our Father. Baby, this morning was such a special treat, as I'm sure you'll hear in that recording that I sent you. Such an incredible treat for me to hear the Lord bless you like that. And I told you, we do our part and we wait on him, and he lifted you up. Thanks be to the God Most High, who gives us eternal life and resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Sweetheart, we are better off having gone into death and being able to stand strong in the face of the death and look up to God and say, even though he slay me, yet will I hope in him and praise him, empowered by his grace. And we can then say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? It is far better for us as Christians to be able to do that than to say that, you know, God helped us avoid the death and the disaster. The true test of faith and life is in the face, of death, and that's what we have. You have life in the midst of death, sweetheart. That is how you know that what you have is true. Honey, you now have proven to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, even more so. Remember how I told you a lot of people can follow for a time, but when the time of testing comes, they fall away. You know, they follow the guidance, they follow the numbers or what have you, and they go, nope, I can't do it. They do not have a life in the midst of death. Their Christianity is about avoiding death, not being victorious in death. You right now are becoming victorious in death. That is the highest testimony. I get it better than I've ever gotten it before. The supreme testimony is the life and hope and grace and spirit of Christ, which can stand in death, untouched by death. We are in it right now. Praise be to God Most High. How could we give God this glory? How could God make this boast to Satan right now if all he did was to deliver us? We are so much better off in our testimony, and God is so much better glorified right now, not after he delivers us. Right now, we stand in the jaws of death with hope in our hearts and life reigning. I think of Romans 5:17. If through one man death reigned, how much more shall those who have received the abundant provision of grace through Jesus Christ reign in this life? Reigning. We are reigning over death right now, sweetheart. And it only took us basically like a day to get there. Today's the 12th for me. It's the 13th for you. So it basically took you one day of wrestling against death and coming to grips with it to be able to then receive down again from heaven the enabling power of his spirit to be full and joyful in the face of death, enduring your cross, scorning its shame through the life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, baby, you don't even know because you hear my words so often. You don't even realize, I don't think. Maybe I don't even realize how important, how big of a deal what I'm saying is right now. This is, I can tell, it's in agreement with the Holy Spirit. This is what God is looking for, sweetheart, is life in death. Not even just life over death, but life in the midst of death. Like those priests that stand in the midst of death in the Jordan River. They stand in it while all Israel passed by. They're standing in the place of death. They're holding death back. They could say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? God will confirm it for other people, and God will confirm it even more and just give us a blessing, glory crumbs, when he does deliver us. But honey, right now he's delivered us. We're standing with hope. We're standing with joy. We're standing with faith in the midst of death. Honey, this is the supreme testimony. This is what so many Christians want to avoid. This is what so many Christians get blacked out on. They do not understand that God is looking for the testimony of who will stand for me, empowered by my spirit in the face of death, in the place of death, in the midst of death. Who's willing to go into death for me and come out alive? Who is willing to make the supreme testimony that the resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ is supreme over all death that Satan can bring? And so few people are willing to do it. They expect God to deliver them life apart from death, victory without the battle, resurrection without the crucifixion. And that's not the supreme testimony. Wow, we have it. You and I are standing in the midst of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Honey, you should be waking up this morning assuming that the Lord gives you grace, Father, please, in Jesus' name, and doesn't allow Satan to attack you in the middle of the night. You should wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning realizing, wow, I'm floating on top of this death. The death has not overcome me. I am overcoming it. It is not swallowing me. I am standing in the midst of it, being unswallowed. Praise God in heaven, sweetheart. And we couldn't have this had he not allowed it all to come into death. We could not have what we're having. And I ask you, is there any part of you that can begin to understand that what we're experiencing now is the higher testimony? It doesn't feel like it, but this is, in the beginning, it doesn't feel like it, but this is the higher testimony. This is the higher blessing. I saw 111 and 322 multiple times yesterday, and I felt as if the Lord was really going out of his way to say we are his children whom he loves, and with us he is well pleased, that he sees that we are fighting for life in Christ in the midst of death, that we are obeying him, we are waiting, we are reasoning it out. We are waiting upon him to deliver us. And he's delivered us, honey. We're delivered right now. This is what I've been trying to teach for years, is that you can have a grace in your heart as if you received the very thing that you wanted so badly and you didn't get it. But you can have a grace in your heart that makes you feel as if you did. We still long to be together. But look at this. God has delivered us from death. Praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you and so thankful for my God. Doing exactly what he said he would do. He would lift you up after you've suffered a little while. The God of all grace will himself restore you, making you strong, firm, and steadfast. Praise the Lord. Praise him, sweetheart. You're knowing something new about your Christianity today that very few people will ever get to know, because they quit. They give up. I'm thankful to you. I was going to share with you that the Lord showed me a 701 today, day 12. It's called Resting in God's Sovereignty. And so just a couple of the scriptures that I have in my memory verses for today. Psalm 135:6, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth and in the seas and all their depths. Now there's another scripture I'd like to read to you from Daniel 4:34-35. This is after Nebuchadnezzar had been made like an animal, because he took pride in what Babylon had become. And God turns him into like a beast and puts him outside, and then he repents. And it says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Sweetheart, there's another scripture that says, if the Lord snatches away, who can say, what have you done? It's the idea that we let God do whatever he wants to do, trusting that he is a loving God, so that even though it doesn't feel loving, it all becomes very loving and for our very good. So then the next scripture is Proverbs 16:4. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, meaning his own purpose, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Remember, I even mentioned this to you when you were talking about your plans for the 2 weeks and all that. The Lord's plans are so much deeper. There's so much, he has so much better for us than just a beautiful 2 week honeymoon with all the temporal, external lovey-dovey stuff. Yes, we're going to get to have plenty of that. But baby, he has a design to bring a honeymoon of him and I and you together in our hearts, and to take us into those deeper, richer waters, which can prevail against any circumstance in this life. Ephesians 1:11, in him, Jesus, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, God, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Where the tiny house goes today, that's being worked out in conformity with his plan and the purpose of his will. When you and I get together, that's being worked out in conformity with the purpose of his will. The death that we're in, the life that we're in, you name it. And finally, Ephesians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Man, I'm so thankful. I could go on and on, but I won't. I just want you to know how thankful I am for you. I love you, and so thankful to our God on your behalf today. Praise the Lord. Love you so much. It is 9:53 in the morning on September 12th now, and I'm sitting at the far end of the Walmart parking lot. You can hear their music playing outside the building. and I've just been in prayer. I've got the windows down. It's about 72 degrees outside while Tyler's inside in another job interview. It's very interesting how this has worked out, where I went with him the first time because he wanted me to. And I sat in the car with him while he was getting his Rosie's position. And now here it is, I am with him. Took him to get a little sandwich before he went to his first interview. And then since we've only got one car and I wanted to go out with him, I just decided I'd wait for him. And so he's inside in his interview right now. And I'm just sitting out here praying, and I'm thanking God so much for my life, the life of Jesus Christ in me. And I'm thinking about how I've been just reading Brother Yun's testimony more and more, and I just see how God has really caused me to read his story. And I see how, again, so clearly that our lives are so similar. So he's been in the prison of an unfaithful, apostate, hostile, hypocritical government twice. I've been in the prison of an apostate, unfaithful, hypocritical marriage twice. A true prison, where it led to many tears. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're in the prison physically or in a spiritual prison. And I just continue to see that God is helping me to see that he's called me to suffer in a life the same way Brother Yun has. That when you look at my life and you see all the public ridicule and the shame, and you see how I was, you know, he was paraded through the streets and mocked, you know, and made fun of. His family was mocked. And then you look at how I ended up on the news in front of a few hundred thousand Central Florida citizens being mocked as, you know, a businessman who tried to steal money in the name of the Lord from people, basically, and that I've done some criminal, being accused of being a criminal. And that's what they keep accusing him of every time he goes before the court. They're like, tell us all about your filthy criminal activities, Yun. And, you know, him being separated from his child for 4 years, such that when he meets him, his child thinks that's not his dad, and he cries and holds on tightly to his mom. And you look at how that happened with me, where my children have actually been turned against me, and you see that he's suffered the loss of all things for Jesus and was confined and homeless, and same here. And he's, you know, he had his family members kind of hold on to him pretty tightly and support him and stuff, whereas I had some that supported me, you know, financially. My parents did for a while, but they turned against me spiritually. And anyhow, I just look at this and I could just draw so many parallels. I just keep seeing how Americans and people in the West can be inspired by Brother Yun's testimony, but they cannot identify with it. It seems like you can quickly close the book and move on and go, yeah, well, none of that applies to me. And the truth is that right now it doesn't, because we don't have a government that's hostile against Christianity. And the truth is, we don't have enough true Christianity for it to be even hostile against. The government in China gladly embraced this three-person church thing, whatever they called it. Three-something-something state church. And it's the church that was controlled by the state and the, you know, Bureau of Religious Affairs. But it's all false. It's like, as long as you behave yourself, stay in your corner, and you worship the way we tell you, you can do that. It's when you stand up against that and you're preaching the true Christianity that they want none of it. And that's what Yun was at, and he's persecuted. So anyhow, you look at this and you see these, I see these similarities, and I see how Yun suffered excessively in the very things that his fellow Christians in China would suffer, the persecution of a government primarily. And here, the way Satan attacks is not through a persecutory government, but Satan attacks through, like, for example, if you look at how much divorce we have, one of the number one targets that Satan has in the West is in marriages, particularly in Christian marriages. He attacks them. And then you end up being put into a prison of pain and suffering. I mean, I don't think there's any worse pain you can go through than to have somebody that you're supposed to love and somebody's supposed to love you betray you at the highest level of heart through infidelity and divorce and false accusations and dragging you through court. I mean, that is the most hurtful thing. It's one thing for a government to do it to you. It's a whole nother thing for the person that you gave your life to and promises to, and who gave you wedded promises and vows and took a vow to love you and take care of you. And then they do this to you.
I mean, that's a huge pain of betrayal. And, you know, God says the same thing, that the greatest pain of his heart would be, you know, when Jerusalem and the Jews are unfaithful to him. You look at this, and I see how I've suffered financially. Well, people in the West suffer terrible financial losses, you know, and upsets. And it's such a big deal, the emphasis on material prosperity. And we suffer false accusations in a court system where you can easily be sued for almost anything. And we suffer from employees and employers who treat you evil. And there's just different kinds of sufferings here. And you can see that Satan uses whatever way he can, and God allows this, but every country is a little different, particularly if you're contrasting somewhere like a communist country, China, versus here. And, you know, so I just keep seeing how very much God has the same purpose for a Michael Criswell and a Yun. And I'm not trying to make myself a hero. I'm not trying to say that I'm like Brother Yun. But the fact is I am. I'm a servant of the Lord, full-time service of the Lord. I consider him to be a much better servant of the Lord than me. I really do. I really do. You know, just I think he's probably been more diligent. I think he's equipped better. I think he has definitely more the grace of God than I do. And yet, I'm standing here in the very grace of resurrection life over death. And I was trying to explain this to Tyler this morning. I said, son, look at this. I said, your dad just went through the worst thing you could go through. You leave a bride who loves you so much and who you love so much standing alone at the altar. And your promise to her and God's promise to you and her has come into death, and there's nothing, and there's money that's been spent and thousands of dollars and preparations and all these things that have been done, and it all comes to nothing. And you're now standing in the death and the disappointment of this. I said, it doesn't get much worse than this, especially after all that you've been through, and you believed you had a promise from God, and you waited 21 years in terrible marriages, both of you, and now you're hoping for this and you've got it all planned, and it comes into nothing. And I said, look at me. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face and I have joy in my heart. I said, the grace of Jesus Christ, the power of resurrection life in me is so much stronger than death. I'm able to say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? And not because God turned around and gave me right back to her, but because even still in the death, I stand joyous, praising God. It's incredible. It is incredible. I am so thankful to the Lord God for his mercies. I've never been able to go through something this difficult. I mean, here I am going to have to eventually, if God doesn't turn this around, which I am absolutely confident he's going to. I mean, I also have the experience of having him done this in the past with the pea thing. So I have no reason to believe he's not going to. He's given us promises. But even if I had to go on the video today and tell people, it all came to nothing. We had all these evidences that, yes, God corroborated, this is a date from me. And now what do we have? Nothing. It all comes into consternation, confusion, and terrible contradiction. And I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, it had to happen like this. We had to have a date in order for God to bring it into death. I said, don't you see, if God would have never have allowed us to have a date, it could have never come into death. We'd still be just sitting here infinitely waiting. She goes, oh, yes, you're right. I see this. I said, yeah, there has to be a day of reckoning. In order for us to put our Isaac, which is our marriage, which we love so much, we waited 21 years for something like this. Our relationship is beyond extraordinary. It has only just continued to get better. No matter what Satan has brought us, we've grown in the grace of Christ. We've grown in our love for each other. The roots are so deep that I feel like I could stay married to her without ever even meeting her for the rest of my life and be the happiest I've ever been. Now, if she heard this right now, she'd be very uncomfortable hearing me say that. And I don't believe that that's what God would allow. But I'm so thankful having her as my bride, as my best friend, as my soulmate, as a companion. And I'm supporting her and she's supporting me. It's incredible. And I said, we have something that so many people would give anything to have. You know how many people would give anything just to have the hope for somebody like this? Much less, you know, actually have them in their possession. They would just like to have the hope that this is possible. So here it is, by the grace and power of Jesus Christ. Today is the 13th of September, you know, and it's early in the morning. It's just now, you know, 10 o'clock, and it's all coming to death. It's only been 24 hours, you know, of since it all came to death, just over 24 hours. And I haven't shed the first tear. I haven't gone into despair. I felt like the Holy Spirit, the night of the 10th for me, when we were praying, and Lisa says, I just have all this faith. And I had to tell her, I said, honey, it's not going to happen. I started to pray. And I could just feel that the Holy Spirit stopped me, that no, he's going to bring it into death. So anyhow, while I'm finishing up this, it's just the testimony that I'm having in right now. It's like, this is what I would want people to see. That I've recovered so quickly by the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm standing in the worst possible scenario you could think of, with the exception of God, like, you know, killing one of us physically dead. This is, and that would even probably be better, because that doesn't come with shame. But this comes with shame. I have absolutely no fear whatsoever of shame. No fear whatsoever. It's like, I'm like, God, this is so beautiful to allow you to stand in the midst of death. There's no greater testimony. I said, baby, this is the greatest miracle. Not that God actually puts you and I together. Once again, here it is, Romans 10:11. No one who trusts in him will ever be put to shame. I said, the greatest miracle is that we're able to stand and praise the Lord in death and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? This is amazing. Praise the Lord. My baby, I'm now meditating on the scriptures that God gave me yesterday. I told him I really want him to speak to me and let me know what is he saying. So I'm going to meditate on all those scriptures really slowly. And sweetheart, I get to the first scripture, which is Hebrews 11:9. I woke up at 1:19 a.m. in the morning on September 11th. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. Look at this, honey. I've never seen this like this before. By faith, he made his home. Not by actual living present reality. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. It had not yet been given to him as the promised land. And he went into it by faith because God told him to. And I just suddenly realized this is exactly what I'm doing, is I am making my home in New Zealand by faith. Not because I have a passport, not because the borders are open, not because I have a visa, not because I have MIQ reservations. I am making my home in New Zealand by faith. I've sold my automobile. I've sold most of any big possessions. I've sent my house over there. I'm sending money over there regularly. I'm making my home in the promised land by faith. You see how incredible that is? It's like, wow. I'm like, see, like right now I don't have it, but God has told me that it's going to be mine, and as are you. I'm also making my home in this marriage by faith. I just thought that was really neat. It's 4:48. I'm coming off the trail on September 12, 2021. I've just had a decent time in prayer. I knew I needed to come. I'm glad I did. More bad news was coming. And I've just gotten another email from New Zealand Customs. I mean, basically, they want to empty me out. They could change the sign to "Welcome to New Zealand. Now you're broke." And it makes you just feel so foolish. It makes you, it's like Satan is trying to make me feel like I am such a fool for having attempted, even dared to attempt to come to New Zealand. But I know that the Lord will have the last word, but it hurts right now. It's suffering. I've just found out that MPI, whatever that's called, I have no idea what the acronym is, they found soil on the bottom of the tiny house after I've done all that work to clean it, and they've ordered a steam clean of the house now. And that means that, and this is just incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. It's going to be thousands of dollars to steam clean the house. And then I'm going to have to pay some other fee. And then I'm also going to have to pay rental at the port at like $6 a square yard per day or something like that. So it's going to end up being thousands of extra dollars, which is going to have to be paid before I can take the house. And here it is, 4:55, arranged and secured in every part when I get into the car. And you do feel frustrated. You feel like saying, exactly like Brother Yun was saying, God, do you not have the power to help me out here? And I've done this long enough to know that the answer is yes, he does. He used to let me be beat up all the time by the people at court, and somehow or another, God was pleased to allow me to waste thousands of dollars to go down to those court cases. And then he would deliver me. You know, I think of all the $150,000 I've spent in child support that goes to somebody who hates me, and kids who don't even seem to benefit from it and kids who hate me as well. And, you know, I'm just looking at this situation where it's like they're just wanting more and more blood. So we're talking about, it starts to look like you are the biggest dummy for sending your tiny house to New Zealand. I have to go, but wait a second. This is the Lord's money, not mine. The Lord provided the money, not me. I worked and I served the Lord, which I said I would do for free. And the Lord happens to have given me a bonus and given me money. And if the Lord wants to drain all that money in that, then I have to let him do it. I also have to be aware of the fact that he had just given me this donation, this one-time donation, but it just, you want to hold on to it. You want to have some left over. And right now we've had to spend more money than what was donated. And now it's going to be thousands more. It's, you know, the donation was only 44,000. And now we're talking about, I'm already at 49.5. And now I bet you this will add another $5,000 to the cost. And it just feels so wrong and it feels unjust. And yet you just have to trust the Lord. You have to allow him. This is where you have to say what I've been preaching for years. Lord, I am yours. Do with me as you see fit. And you let him drain you of every penny and every blood. It's like when Brother Yun is in the back of that van and he's handcuffed. And the blood is spilling all over him and all over the walls of the van because the handcuffs are so tight that it's rubbed it down to the bone. You can see the white of his bone through his skin. If Brother Yun would have had the presence of mind, he can say, Lord, this is my blood. This is your blood that you've given me. You spill as much of it as you want. And that's what I'm going to say right now. I'm giving myself just a few minutes to record the frustrations that could be there. But I'm just going to say, I'm not trusting in the money. I'm trusting in God. And God can provide as much money. They could make it $10,000. So be it. They can make it $20,000. So be it. God can give me that much money. He can give me more money than that. He's always, for 8 years, given me exactly what I want to have, or what I need to have, not what I want, what I need to have, and he can continue to do so. It's his. I have to practice what I preach and let him have of it what he wants. And it's designed to make you look like you are a fool, like Brother Yun, bleeding all over himself. We're going to show you. Let's let this get out, that this is what criminals do. And you know, I can see that the Lord is really going to have me have to fight against Satan this way. That he's really making it difficult for me to get into New Zealand. And he's really haven't given me the slap down. It's like I'm staying in prison. And you're not only going to not come, but I'm going to teach you a lesson for trying to come. But one thing we know about Michael Criswell is because I cry out to the living God, I will not give up. So I've sent a message to Lisa explaining about this to guard her heart. And you know, it really, again, I think it's just designed to make me feel like I've been put to shame. Like, yeah, now you've not only sent your tiny house over there. Now we've taken all your money. And you still don't have your wife. So if you look at my situation right now, instead of it being that, like, I got there on 9/11, we happily married and live happily ever after and everything's wonderful. Instead of that, it's now we have your tiny house. Now we've just stripped you of 50, you know, let's call it $55,000 by the time it's said and done. And you still don't have your wife. And because because we're not letting you in the country on the 9/11 and we made that so difficult for you. I mean, it's one of those things where it really looks like you are totally defeated and destroyed. And you ask yourself, why are you doing this? You're doing this because thousands of people will benefit with every click that you send out. Every new part of the story encourages some brother or sister by the hundreds immediately. Hundreds of people immediately will testify, oh brother, I needed to hear this message, and it kept them going. And so death is at work in me right now so that life can be at work in other people, and it's also at work in my wife. This is it. This is just at a higher level, more frustrating level too. You know, then perhaps, well, I don't know. I can't say it's more frustrating. I can't say that. That's not at all the case. Lord, forgive me for even conjecturing that. What I went through with K and with P was far more frustrating than this. Far more frustrating and painful than this. So the Lord's given me grace. I don't even feel it in my body. I just have the ability to perceive how, wow, this is just never ending. They're going to get you for everything. They're going to get you for everything. But hopefully somehow or another, this might help Lisa not be so frustrated about 9/11. This somehow or another, it takes your focus back off of your disappointment about 9/11, and it's going to put it, the disappointment now will be back on the New Zealand customs and on our finances. So, you know, you could be so eager to think about, oh man, $50,000, you know, between the shipping company and basically it'll end up being like $30,000 to the New Zealand government just for me to get my house into the New Zealand government, into New Zealand. Not only that, but then I'm going to have to pay for the towing, and the guy's telling me, oh, it's going to be more money now because we're going to have one of those drivers. So everything is turning out to be more money, more difficult. And it just, you know, I'm a little tired. So it makes you feel like just like, oh, whatever. So I'm just going to keep my eyes on the Lord and praise Him. Lord, praise your holy name. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's His to give. It's His to take away. And if it's just like that scripture I just read, if the Lord snatches away, who can say, what have you done? And it's the Lord who's in control of all of this. And I have to be an example to other people who are going through seriously unjust losses, who need to know you can get through this without throwing something through the window. You can get through this without causing a big stink and without losing your Christianity. You can, by the grace of Christ, by recognizing it's all His. Let Him do with it as He sees fit. And that's what I'm going to say. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Praise God in heaven. Praise God in heaven. Praise God in heaven. Yep. So that's what we're going to do. I'm just pulling up next to my neighbor here. Just going to go inside and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.